This episode is sponsored by Natural Mat, an organic bed and mattress company based on the banks of the River Exe in Devon. Natural Mat controls the whole process of making, from collecting organic wool to sending out the finished product in its own vans. You can visit a Natural Mat showroom in the Cotswolds, Chiswick or Devon, or log on to naturalmat.co.uk.
The nicest view in Nice, because you can see the port, the castle, the hills. We have this beautiful garden, Albert Premier, just in front of us. We can see the sea.
Welcome to House Guest with me, Carol Annett, interiors editor at Country and Townhouse magazine. Here I chat to those clever creatives behind the houses, hotels and brands you see in glossy magazines like ours. Guests include interior designers and architects, as well as celebrities dipping their toe into the world of decorating. Have you noticed how some of the grand hotels of Europe are shaking off their mothballs and being brought back to life? I visited Nice. To our parents, Nice was a destination. Founded by the Greeks, it became a retreat for 19th century European elite, home to Matisse and Coco Chanel, but in the last decade has lost out to neighbouring Cannes, Saint-Tropez and Monte Carlo for glitz and glamour. It's drawing the discerning traveller once more, leading the way, the Anantara Plaza. Stéphane Villiers, the general manager overseeing both the running of the hotel and guest experience, shares the story of how one of Nice's oldest and grandest hotels has emerged glorious and radiant from a facelift, preparing to welcome guests for its first summer of fun and frivolity on the French Riviera. So, Stéphane, tell me about this incredible hotel that we're sitting in. I mean, it's a Belle Epoque architectural landmark, which has been brought back to life by the Anantara brand.
Absolutely. The hotel was actually opened in November 1946, so we've been open for as a hotel for 175 years this year. It was called the Hôtel de France previously, then it was then the Plaza, Plaza Boscolo. Originally, it only had two floors. Today, we have a bigger extension, and the hotel was closed for 4 years. Before reopening the doors on the 15th of December.
So there were three interior design companies involved. TBS Interiors, you're going to have to say it for me.
Absolutely. They were doing more the rooms.
Yeah.
They were.
So that's a Spanish, they're based
in
Madrid.
It's a Spanish company, absolutely. David Collins were more into the public areas. They've done here this colonnade lobby reception. The reception area, the rooftop restaurant and terrace. And that's David
they
Collins.
They got the good bits, really.
Absolutely. Yep.
And then there was another a chap called Jean-Paul Gomi, who
absolutely.
Is a local
He's
interior
a local
designer.
Architect.
Okay.
And he has done more the meeting spaces and the coordination with David Collins on the rest of the building.
I must admit, it feels very different to a traditional luxury hotel. You've got these enormous height ceilings, which are beautiful. But along the top, it's almost like what I would describe as a fairy cake with kind of little icing balls
right.
around the top of the ceiling and sweet little dainty lamps. But then the colour scheme is a really sort of grassy garden green, which is, it's a very pretty space without being too feminine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The mix of color, we want it to be very close to the nature. So if you see there's a lot of wood, cream green wood, the top color.
Taupe. It's beautiful. Mm. I guess it kind of reflects the sand on the beach. It's that sort of color, isn't it? It's like a sandy color.
Absolutely, yes.
You also have in the area that we're sitting here, a lot of ceramics, these kind of, they almost look like a papier-mâché.
Mm-hmm.
With white,
yes.
Which is also such a refreshing change because you concentrate on the shape of the ceramic rather than sometimes with a lot of colour, you just see the design.
Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of thought put into the details, and even in the little alcoves, we have quite a few alcoves around here. They have worked on shells and corals.
So you're reflecting a very different type of luxury traveller. You know, even from sort of 20, 30 years ago, what is it you think that people are looking for now? It's not so much the bling and the things that would traditionally define a luxury hotel.
It's more the authenticity.
Yeah.
And that's what we noticed, that we want to offer authentic products. And for me, this is a luxury to be able to offer something as natural as possible with little intervention or modification to the product. So this is what we wanted to bring to the travelers, a sense as well of what we do on the best of the Côte d'Azur.
And there's a glamour associated with this area, and the French Riviera has for so long has had a kind of draw for so many people, you know, and we're near Monte Carlo and we're near Menton and all the rest of it. What is it, do you think, about this hotel that will draw people here as opposed to going anywhere else?
I believe the location, that it's ideally located in Nice. Nice, it's, I think, previously the offer on this five-star level was not sufficient in Nice for this clientele to be considering Nice as a stopover. And they would go automatically to Cannes or to Monaco because it's concentrated. Now, I believe with our arrival here in Nice, guests are saying we have now an additional offer and we can consider staying in Nice. And there's two more coming up as well.
Two more
five-star coming up in Nice.
Okay.
So, and this is very positive for the destination because we will position ourselves as... There's not just Cannes and Monaco.
Yeah. But you guys got here first, though, didn't you?
Yes. Yes.
So you're going to stake your claim.
Yes. We all very different. And this competition is always good because it helps us strive to do better every day. But we offer very different product. We already have the comparison with the Negresco. When we say there's two five-star, they say no. There's one and there's one. Because we are very different.
Yeah. What was it? I mean, you've worked all around the world. Was it most recently in London or was it the Seychelles?
The most recently was London.
Yeah.
It was a transition between Seychelles and here.
So what was it that drew you to Nice? Or is it like the Foreign Office? You don't get a choice of where you're going to go.
No, I actually established myself here 26 years ago. My daughter was born here.
Okay.
I mean, not in Nice, but in Mandelieu. Uh-huh. I was working in Cannes for 7 years before I traveled. So I was an expat for 18 years. My ex-wife is British. So that's why we did London after Cannes. We did London for 3.5 years.
Must be nice to be back in the sunshine, isn't it? I mean, as soon as the plane landed and we saw the blue sky, your heart just leaps with joy.
I know it. I mean, we started our married life here, but then she asked me to go to UK because she left UK as finishing her studies and she wanted to live in UK as a adult. I'm like, oh, really? You really want to go to UK, live in Côte d'Azur for...
Yeah.
And I did it. And we lived there. And then work has taken me for 18 years traveling around.
Wow.
But it was time for me to come back.
Yeah.
Because I missed the region. I missed the house and friends.
And what's your role as a general manager? What is it that you... Is it more on the people side or more on the building side?
I mean, it's both. Obviously, you need to look after both. Clients are the focus. The team is the focus. Because you need all of them. I've been asked a few times, what is the most important? And they're all important. You don't have guests. You don't have a team. You might have a beautiful building, but without guests, you don't have a building. And... without the team, you have guests, but they're not being served. So it's all related.
When you first knew that you were coming here, was it 2021?
I knew in 2020.
And what's the first thing that you think about? You must have a list that's so long that's added to every day. But what is the first thing that you want to put in place? You think, right, I'm going to do that first.
Well, first I had to get familiar with the construction.
Yeah.
So I had to look at the plans, and because when I arrived here, it took me a while to start saying, okay, which staircase to go to that floor.
But are you thinking about it as a guest, or are you thinking about it for staff to get around?
For me, it was as a staff first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you liaise with the architect or the interior designer.
Yes,
and
we had weekly meetings to see the progress of each areas and the challenges that we had, especially it was still COVID time, and then all these variants came into place, and it was then the lack of shortage of material due to COVID, due to many things. So we had to overcome quite a lot of challenges. So.
And after you are put in place, what about things like food and beverage? When, for example, when do you decide on a chef? Do they come on board quite early?
They come on board three months before.
Mm-hmm. And where did you source your chef from?
All locally. I mean, we advertise on the local level, and then I'm very active on LinkedIn. So I had some chef who saw my profile and who started to connect with me and engage. So our chef was recruited from Paris. He was working at the Peninsula. So he flew down to Nice, we had a tasting, and then he moved to the south.
And did you have an idea of what you wanted to be serving here, what the essence of the food should be like?
We had at the beginning the brief of all the areas. This one here, we knew it would be a lounge, but we wanted to offer something very different.
So what is it that you're doing here that's different?
It's a caviar house. So there's a very nice selection of caviar. And we want to launch, we call it a Delici Carnival, which is a revisited traditional afternoon tea with local pastries, all local flavors, sandwiches and open sandwiches, but revisited traditional dices like salade niçoise, the pissaladière.
Oh, it's my favorite.
So we have revisited all of those.
Yeah.
And then the proposal is to serve infusion of green coffee.
Oh, wow.
Not tea.
Okay.
Yes. So we find a supplier from Monaco who has a selection. He imports the beans, the green beans from Latin America. And he has created some infusion with ginger, with licorice, with different flavors. And they come as sachets as well, like a tea.
Yeah.
And it's true, in France, we are more a coffee nation than a tea nation.
Yeah.
So we said, okay, so it will be an afternoon tea because we cannot call it an afternoon coffee. But it looks like tea, but it's not like tea.
Oh, it's
a
neat.
Green coffee. Obviously, okay. If somebody wants to have a tea,
they can have tea.
We offer tea, of course. And the scones has been the trompe-l'œil. It looks like a scone, but it's not a scone.
Oh, wow. What does it taste like instead of a scone?
It's inside, we looked at local flavor, like we wanted to do a lemon, but we have at the moment rhubarb and seasonal fruit inside. And there's a base biscuits as well.
Oh, beautiful.
But from the outside, it looks like a scone, close scone without the clotted cream. And,
oh, fun. I will look forward to that one. And what about upstairs at the Scene restaurant? So that's on the top of the hotel with the most extraordinary views over the sea. And it's very romantic and beautiful. And that's the best place to be, huh?
Absolutely. it's the best. It's the nicest view in Nice because you being on the second line, we have the angle of view is really nice. You can see from the airport, you can see the runways. And you can see the port, the castle, the hills. We have this beautiful garden, Albert Premier, just in front of us. We can see the sea. And we don't have all the traffic of the Promenade des Anglais, where you have these double three lanes in front of you. So it's very quiet.
Yeah, it's a real kind of promenade area around here, isn't it?
Yes. And it's one-way street.
Uh-huh.
So the traffic is not heavy. And the return is on the other side of the garden. So the garden kind of absorbs all the noise.
So Nice is a very different idea of a holiday that you know, that you're watching the planes come in and there's a lot going on, but then you come inside to your sanctuary, really, of the Anantara, and you've got the beautiful spa, you've got places that you just sit and relax. Where is the majority of your customer coming from?
They were French up to now,
yeah.
I guess because of reopening of border being slow, the lines reopening, some lines were stopped. But now we can see that Americans are back, English customers are back. We had got a few GCC as well, because the brand is well established in Dubai, well in the Emirates, because even Abu Dhabi, we have a property, Oman, in Doha. There's three, I think, in Antares. So the brand is well established there.
Although it's an enormous hotel, it doesn't feel... I mean, this particular area that we're sitting in now, it feels very cozy. That, you know, I think that's what David Collins have been very clever about, creating the areas where you feel you can feel private. It's there's a real art to doing that, isn't there?
Absolutely. It is very cozy and you feel very comfortable here.
Are there any things that as soon as they were put up, you suddenly thought, oh, no, it's not going to work? Or other things that you thought, yes, that's perfect, that's really...
From a client perspective, no. From an operational perspective, we do have our challenges in the back of house, where with places that we need to go left, right, center to catch a lift. Or... so as long as the guests will not see that, but it's more from our side, like we have all the stores, we don't have... many stores. It's a very old building. So the executive housekeeper is crying every day, we're gonna have more, I cannot put my thing, I need more shelves, I need more.
And it's a UNESCO, it's a World Heritage site. Is that the actual hotel is a UNESCO site?
No, the zone.
The zone, okay, yes. So that must have had its challenges as well with the building.
We already had with the facade, we could not touch it.
Yeah.
We had to respect what was there, even in terms of colors and everything needs to be approved, the logos, the flags, anything we wanted to attach to it needs to be revised, approved. Originally, we wanted to have the Anantara on the side, but they rejected it. So we had to go back and forward with the size, the lighting.
And what about ghosts? Do you think there are some smart people who have wafted in and out of the door? Do you think about the history of the people who would have stayed here?
We do. We don't have a huge recollection of those. We know, for example, the president of France, Poincaré, was here because we saw a picture of him and his wife leaving the hotel. And the second one was in a bar somewhere in that level in 1904. But beside them, it's been difficult to try to see from history who else has stayed there. But for sure, a number.
Yeah. But then what's lovely is that you're creating a new history. Mm-hmm. You know, this is what's exciting about it. It feels very new. Even though we're in an old building, it feels very modern and exciting. And I think that's very... You know, it's very clever to be able to get the design right to make people feel welcome and comfortable. But also there's such an elegance to it as well. It's really lovely. So what are you most excited about coming up? I know you're going to be very busy in the next few weeks and months.
Yes, this is the summer. Well, it's nice actually to see the hotel picking up and being busy, because this is when we now start seeing the area which have been quiet to start, you know, working and not being a dormant place and waiting for guests to arrive.
And you talk about experiences. I mean, and there's so much around here that you can do. I didn't realize that this is where Coco Chanel, her official residence was in Nice.
It was, yes, in Chateau Crema.
And that's now a vineyard?
It's a vineyard, yes.
Okay. And all those sorts of things, you can organize tours if people want to go and visit?
We do, absolutely. We actually work very closely with them. They created our own wine, white and red. I went to the chateau and we did all the sampling of the white. We mixed it, the grapes, and until... said, okay, that's what I like. And
oh, nice.
Because I didn't want to be like a lot of places who would just stick a label and say, this is a house wine.
Yeah.
We wanted to have our own blend that nobody else will have on the market. Okay. So the white and the red, which we created together with the chateau, you cannot drink it anywhere else besides here.
And what about a rosé?
So rosé will be next year. I mean, this year. Because when we did it in 2022, it was the vintage 2021. And at the time, the rosé was not big. The volume was too small for us to say, okay, I'm going to give you 1,000. Because we got 1,500 liters. And they said that's too many. Vineyard is too small, but they were planning to acquire another vineyard next to theirs, which will produce the rosé wine.
Because you're going to sell a lot of rosé in the south of France.
yes, that's right. So this summer we will have the rosé wine.
Yeah.
But last year we couldn't.
How exciting.
Yes, so that's nice.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you very, very much, Stefan, because I know you're an extremely busy man.
Thank you very much for being here. You're going to the spa, right?
Yeah, I'm going to the spa right now.
Right now.
Sustainability has been at the heart of Natural Mat since day one. This year, they became the first bed and mattress company in the UK to gain B Corp status. They also hold the Queen's Award for Sustainability. Using only certified organic materials, Natural Mat's mattresses are better for you and the planet. Visit naturalmat.co.uk.
Thank you for joining me today. You can hear more House Guest on British Airways In-Flight Entertainment in the audio section, along with our sister podcast, Breakout Culture, with Lord Ed Vasey and Charlotte Metcalf. You can follow me on Instagram at Carol W. Annett.